We live in a very hostile world. We live in a very hostile world as Christians. Am I relevant? Am I saying something relevant? So it's hostile in such a way that we will all be tempted to be really angry people, isn't it? Wherever you go, you are challenged as a Christian really to live in such a way that your Heavenly Father will be proud of you. So we are always challenged to pay back and to behave the way, or to treat others the way they are treating us. And I suspect that we are not all being treated fairly. Even in our own countries, even in our own workplaces. So we are always not treated with fairness. And maybe my fellow South Sudanese people can relate to me today. Even it's so graphic the way they are treating each other. Today the whole world is in shock. And so it's just incredible. And so you see things that will make you to be angry. And so no wonder why Jesus Christ in the Sermon on Mount, he was preparing his disciples to live in such a way that there will be a people who have received a kingdom that is from heaven. Something to mark them out and to out of all others. Because being in the kingdom is not like not being in the kingdom. Being in the kingdom, that means, according to the text, you are a child of God. And to bear the DNA and to have the family values and family ethics. So that is what Jesus is saying. And also we need to understand the context as well. Jesus was preparing his disciples for a ministry to advance his kingdom. They were going to face a lot of challenges, isn't it? They will be hated so much. And now Jesus is preparing them, is teaching them. So today in the passage that we have from Matthew 5, verses 43 to 48, Jesus is preparing his disciples, telling them that you are to love your enemies. As you live as God's children, you are to love your enemies. But for him to do that, he had to destroy first false teaching. Lest he will build on a wrong foundation, and Jesus wouldn't do that. He builds on a fresh and firm foundation that is rooted in him himself, Jesus. That is why he said, you have heard that it was said. When I was preparing, I stopped a lot at this to make a big sermon out of this, you have heard. Many of us today, our greatest problems, or maybe many of our problems, are based on what we have heard, what other people have taught us. You see, so we are stuck. We are stuck in what other people have taught us or told us to do. This is how you are to live in Australia, or this is how you are to live wherever you are. This is how to treat other people. So just go on Facebook. You got a lot of wise people telling you how to live, you know. You see, yeah, don't love those who hate you. If someone, you have been so kind to someone number of times, you stop loving them and stop being kind to them. Just treat them the way they treat you. This is what you will get always in the Facebook. To be pragmatic. And if you want to ask me what is pragmatism, pragmatism is what works for you. That is pragmatism. But Jesus, first of all, he wanted to change, to destroy the teaching that his disciples have heard. And actually, Jesus was referring to Leviticus 19, verse 18. You have heard, this is what he said. But actually, that was not the whole thing. Because Jesus said, you have heard, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. The first part is correct, love your neighbor. And the reasons in the Old Testament, because they were living in a community, they were Israelites, they were God's people. So God was encouraging them like to love one another as a community that has come into a covenant with him. But that is not, this is not what Jesus is reputing. Also, there is an addition, and that addition is a tradition. And Jesus wanted to make sure that his disciples don't go along with such a teaching like that. Jesus is not reputing the Old Testament teaching, But the addition, so love your neighbor, that is normal. Your neighbor, you have common interest. You see, so it doesn't cost you so much. How many of us have neighbors who we have lived okay for 10 years, 20 years, 15 years? It's okay. That doesn't cost you anything. So Jesus wants his disciple to go beyond what is so natural if we are going to be his disciples. And so you have heard that you love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Your enemy. That is what Jesus is saying. He's teaching them. He says to them, well, now I want you to reflect as followers of Christ the supernatural nature of the kingdom into which God has called you. This, you are going to be different. You are going to live differently. You are going to treat people differently. You are going to go beyond what is natural because God has resources. You have the DNA. You have the grace of God. You have the divine blessings of God to be different. It's something that you have to work harder to manifest, isn't it, to be nice. Have you seen someone who is trying to be nice and he is not nice? But have you ever seen also someone who is really nice naturally? So it doesn't cost him, it's natural. And other people around him will be just so surprised. Why is this person like that? It's God. He is in the family. He has received. Family values has been passed on to him. And we will see that in the text shortly. And that is the privilege of those who have come to know Jesus, to those who have come to be children of God. And if you are not displaying this today, this text is a challenge to you. If you call yourself truly a Christian, if you don't go beyond yourself and know even when you are failing to do this, there is a supply, isn't it? We are not always nice. But there are times where we recognize that we are stepping out. We are displaying values that are not ours. We are called to be persistent and to be different. So now Jesus said to them, this is what you have heard. I want you to just hear what I'm saying. If you are ever going to be truly identified as a child of God, as a believer, as a Christian, this is what you are to do. He said, but I, Jesus saying, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who knows everything. And now he says to us, he says to you, I tell you, love your enemies. See the transition from singular to plural, isn't it? Maybe you can handle one enemy, isn't it? But to handle many enemies, that would be a challenge to you, isn't it? So Jesus is saying, you are going to face a lot of enemies. That you are not going to just love this one person who is doing these wrong things to you, who is not kind, who has ill intentions against you all the time, but actually you are going to face many of these. And for us as Christians, if we think that a problem, some people who hate us or who treat us bad will vanish from the scene, that is not possible. We are in a broken world. But we are called to be overcomers. And now Jesus is saying, you love. And this love in the original language is agape, and conditional love. That does not based, obviously, on the niceness or if that person is nice or good. In fact, Jesus said it's an enemy to you, acting as an enemy, acting to harm you, even to wipe you out. You see, I've seen the wiping out. Like now people are talking in South Sudan about enemies. Those who are coming with big guns and just running after you. So like now I don't know how I can preach this sermon to a people who are running away from people with tanks and guns. That would be a challenge, isn't it? Here you are displaced, being targeted, and yet Jesus is saying, if you are a Christian, you are to love this person. And commentators, actually, they come up with a lot of ideas that I don't have to go along with, you see. But As a Christian, this is what Jesus is calling us to do. And I have said this in this place many times, that Jesus Christ will not call us to do something for which he will not help us to do. This is not just like a teaching that maybe she's challenged us, but there is a way to this. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't say this. These are his disciples, and we are his disciples. If we sit and we listen and we receive this, there is a way for us to do this. How is the way to this? Faith. Faith in the words of Jesus. He said, love your enemies. Do you believe that Jesus said this to you? And as you believe this, there is a power in believing. He will enable you to love in the face of hostility, face of suffering, and in struggles. People who are just like really disadvantaging you. You see? That is how being a Christian is challenging. But you are not on your own. Here Jesus was speaking to a people he has called to himself, greatly loved. And you and I, we have been loved by him. That is why he wants us to carry on, to manifest the family values, ethics, because he has the power. And he wants us to stand out apart from others, because that is what a lot of other people are doing. This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying other people are doing this. But you, I ask you to love. Go beyond yourself. Offer. Do good. Pray. And pray for those who persecute you. You see, pray. Like you are wanting them to be blessed. You see? Just not only to love them, but actually to pray for them. And praying for someone is an expression of a greater love ever. Go today, if someone who doesn't get that attitude of loving their enemies, go tell them, pray for that person who is persecuting you. He will fight you back. He wouldn't even think of doing that, isn't it? They can't do that. But here Jesus is saying, you put yourself in the place of these people in crying out for blessing. So that is what is happening. Intercession, intercessory prayer. Pray for this person. You love them. You pray for them. So loving and praying, they go together as to seek the good of the other person who is not good to you, who is not nice to you, who is annoying, and who put you down, who thinks that you are the refuse of the world, and so forth. And now this is what Jesus is saying, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Well, Jesus is not saying, what does that mean? Jesus is not saying, as you do this, you will be accepted by God. No, that is not saying. You have been already accepted. And that is the reason. That is the reason why you should love and pray for those who hate you, your enemies. Because you are a child of God. Because you are a son. You are sons and daughters of God. That is why you do that. That is the reason why we do that. Otherwise, the world who are not children of the living God, they cannot do that. They cannot do that. And now the text is going to explain even further to us why. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Actually saying that you will fit the description. That will show the family values. You will reflect the character of your Heavenly Father. And your Heavenly Father, because you bear the DNA, you bear the family values, you have been taught, this has been passed on to you, this is how your Heavenly Father behave or act. He causes his son, to rise on the evil and the good. That is the reason why you have to do that. Because your Heavenly Father is merciful, is gracious. He is not, does not limit his blessings only to the good people. He goes beyond that. He is sovereign. He caused the blessings to come on even those people who do not acknowledge him. You see, I was traveling and I've seen a lot. You see, even a country like this, prosperous, isn't it? But not everybody in this country knows God and loves God. And yet there are a lot of good things that God just like ordained for this nation, for all of us to have equal access to. That is the nature of God we serve. And so because our God is like that, we are to be like our God. They said, like Father, like Son, isn't it? So that is our identity. That is who we are. Because our Father in heaven, we have seen his indiscriminative, really, love and care and blessings to others. I was just coming from a very nice and warm place, Dubai, and even in America, the southern part was warm and nice. All of us, we were just enjoying the sun, and it's beautiful. Just imagine if I was denied that warmth because I was a Christian. Well, that would be terrible, isn't it? Or the other way around, you know? Wow, that is not fair. You see, they will accuse God of being unfair. But God always is, He is pure. There's nothing that we can find in him as false. He will always be God. And that is why I say even the creation that he has created, he didn't create that some parts for Christians to enjoy. All the flowers, the oceans and the mountains. See people hiking, they are not necessarily Christians. See, this is our God. And so that man has no excuse not to believe and trust in him. And this is really a gospel to us to share with those who hate God, who rejects him. Just look, you enjoy even his son shines on you, even you who is against him all the time. That is his nature. And send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. See, rainy season in South Sudan and other places, and those who are just like worshiping idols, and yet the rain will just come and cover the land and the crops and everything. You see, fish for everyone. You see, everything. This is the character of our God. This is the way of discipleship. We are to be like our Heavenly Father. If you love, because now this is the contrast. Jesus wants us to be better than those who do not believe in him. Jesus wants us to be different in such a way that the people will notice that these people, where are they? Where do they come from? I have one illustration, even the disciples, isn't it? They were so bold, they were proclaiming the risen Savior, and they were unschooled, you see, unschooled, I mean uneducated, you see, but they were declaring the wonders of God. The power of God was being manifested through them. They were calling people to repentance. You see, and they said they wanted to. And then where do they come from, these people? They have great knowledge. They have great power and joy and things like that. And people, they realized that they had been with Jesus, like these disciples. They were the very disciples, isn't it? Peter and John and James. They were the very people that Jesus was speaking to. These are his disciples. He trained them. They have captured the teaching, they have embraced it, and they have manifested. And actually, one of the most important, really, reason for people to evangelize is the fact that we love the people, isn't it? So the people we evangelized, they are often hostile to the gospel, isn't it? But we persevere because we love them, because God wants them to be saved. So we persevere in taking the gospel to them. That is why Jesus said we are to go beyond our neighbors. We need to go to our enemies. You see, the Islamic world today, they are very open. While I was in Dubai, coming back from USA, I sat with a Saudi guy. And I remembered some of the books I read. One of the books was 600 years AD. Christianity in Saudi Arabia. And I was able to talk to him about few figures in the history, in the Arabic history, who were Christians. The most generous man in the history of the Islamic world or the of the Arab was a Christian guy. Until Shaddad, those who have written poetries, I said to him, look, do you realize that this poem was written by Antar Ibn Shaddad, and he was a Christian man? He said, yes, this is a Saudi guy. And then he gave me his number. He said, when you come to Saudi Arabia, visit me in my village. Yeah, this is my next trip. You see, so we are to cross the boundaries. We are to go to the people that who are not naturally nice to us. So Jesus says that, do this so that your righteousness will exceed the righteousness of others. Jesus always is so serious about our righteousness exceeding the righteousness of those who do not know him. The expectation for us is to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth as Christians. We are the people to make difference. Our presence in bad situations will turn things around as we plead with our God. Apostle Paul did that on his way to Rome. You see, he was in a boat, and the boat was really sinking. Just imagine, because of Paul, people were saved. And today, God is looking to us that the only way to bless nations and the world is when his people plead with him. Like Moses, when God was going to destroy the people of Israel, and then Moses stood and said, please, forgive and mercy on your own people. Because if you destroy them, the people say, like, maybe you were unable to help your people. So if you, this is the illustration, if you love only, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? No rewards. No rewards for people who are acting naturally like sinners. The reward is for those who have come to realize that they are carriers of blessings because they have been blessed. They are children, and they are manifesting and carrying out the works of their Heavenly Father, who is so righteous and merciful and impartial in treating his own creation. But there will come a day when there will be judgment, isn't it? So we are on a mission, and we are to finish it and finish it well. That is why Jesus, this is here for us here, because we don't want to be like these people. One example, there was a man by name Richard Hastings. He was a senior mathematician where I was working at Heather Hill Secondary College. And so one day I overheard him talking to other teachers, a man who never said that he was a Christian. And then he was sharing with his colleagues over lunch. He said to them, one day there was a young guy who said he was a Christian. He said, tonight I'm going to a party and I'm going to blow up that party. He said, that young guy. And then he said, I heard that. And then he came up to him and he said, okay, I went up to him and I said to him, what a shocking Christian attitude. You're going and blowing up a party. And then he said, this young man threw up his head, thinking, and he said, you are right. And he never went to do that. he stopped. He didn't go. You see, so Jesus is saying here, we are to go beyond ourselves. We are to be different. We are to manifest family values, our Heavenly Father's values. Because in this way, as we do this, we will be different from tax collectors. Because this is what they do. They love only those who love them, tax collectors. And tax collectors, they were seen as people who were very bad. They were traitors. They were collecting money for the foreign powers, isn't it? Occupiers. So they were seen by their own people as traitors. They were very bad. You see? That is how they were dealing. And Jesus is saying, like, look, you don't have to be like these ones. You see, we are to be different. And you are not only to greet those who are nice to you. You see, you greet even those who are not real. And in greetings, there is well-wishing, isn't it? You see, when you greet someone, how are you today? You are thinking kindly of them. You want to just stand with them. And so sometimes when you see them, they are really struggling, you try really to encourage them and be nice to them and be kind to them. And Jesus is saying, this is how you are going to do. If you are ever going to influence the world, if you are ever going to be my disciples, if you are ever going to be Christians, you see, in a time where it really things are getting darker and darker and darker, the Lord Jesus wants us to shine even more. Because this is what he says, we are not to be like the tax collectors. And we are not to be like the pagans, but we are to be like our Heavenly Father who is perfect. And so I thought in the first place that the big idea of the text was to perfection. You see, because our Father in heaven is perfect, isn't it? Our Father in heaven is perfect. And here the challenge. We know we will never be perfect in this world, but really we are called to perfection. Because if we display family values, if we love those who hate us, those enemies, if we overcome all situations like this, and then we are truly children of our Heavenly Father. And you see the change there. He says that your Father in heaven, isn't it? So in verse 4-5, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, the God who is in heaven. And now here in verse 48, say, be perfect therefore as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Your Heavenly Father, you see, is even warmer and closer, is yours. Your Heavenly Father in heaven is perfect, and he wants to make sure that you yourself, you are exactly like him. Because God would not accept anything less than that. Even when he was creating us, he created us after his own image, the high standard. Just imagine, when God thought of creating you and I, he didn't just bring anything else to match us with. It was only him. And Jesus in this text is saying the perfection into which God is calling us as his own people is no lesser than our Heavenly Father himself. And then you may ask yourself, how can I be? I do that. Well, as I said earlier, believe and trust and embrace the teaching of Christ by faith and faith alone, and you will be perfect like your Father in heaven. Well, if I ask you a few questions just in the passing, so as a way how to apply this text, so you as an individual right now, what are you doing? Are you going to be perfect like your Father? Are you going to think of those people who are really annoying to you, who have annoyed you, who have acted in the past, or even in the present, or even a few minutes ago? Are you going to hold this against them, or are you going to let go and forgive them? And actually to think of, of being so kind to them, and actually to write a card, or even like to buy them a gift, you see, or to visit them, or to invite them out for lunch or a coffee. Just a way to say that I have embraced the word of my Savior. I'm going to be different to my friends, and actually I'm going to challenge him, to love him. Go, do that. That is for you as individuals. You see, how about you as a group of people, a church? Are you a friendly church? Are you a church that receives outsiders? Or you are selective in your love? But this love is inclusive. This love is indiscriminative. This love is divine and is agape. You as a church, are you a warm church? Do you receive those who are outsiders? And because this is very important, otherwise we are just a group of people who have maybe a common interest. No, we are not like that. We are children of the Most High God. He has placed us here. We take his word seriously and we pray for his grace. Really, to fill us so that we love those who hate us, and also to go beyond ourselves and to make ourselves not like, and to pray in such a way and live in such a way that we will not be identified with pagans and sinners. Well, you might be doing this right this now. How about in 10 years to come? Are you going to revert back? Remember this day. That this text is to be implemented or to be applied now and forevermore. That is the challenge, isn't it? So you set up yourself as a loving person, a follower of Christ, a child of God. See, because your Heavenly Father in heaven is perfect. Be perfect walk before me. That was what the Lord God himself said to Abraham. Walk before me and be blameless. Walk before me. What does that mean? Believe me. Rely on me. Trust me. And you will be blameless. That means you will be perfect. As you walk before God, as you rely on him and not relying on your own strength and your grace and your intelligence and your resources. Rely on his resources in making you perfect like your Heavenly Father. Let us pray.